Blog Talk Radio.
Time is
what happened to that singer who used to sing our song? The preacher's out selling that way. That singer's now singing country. They sold out what is right for what is wrong. What happened to that church who used to be on fire? What happened to all the voices who sang in that heavenly choir? Oh, the church has now grown dead and cold. The choir is silent cause nobody goes. They sold out to the world and their own desire. Listen to me. This heart belongs to Jesus, 'cause he saved my soul from hell. This heart belongs to Jesus. This heart, not for sale. Make a lot of dough. I said, thanks for your offer. It all sounds swell. But I belong to Jesus and I'm just not for sale. Not for sale. Not for sale. I'm not for sale. No way, no sir. And well, if you're living for Jesus, friend, there'll come a day that old devil's gonna try to get you some way. He'll try you and tempt you with his lies straight from hell. To say I belong to Jesus and devil, I'm not for sale.
Anyway, I'm Brother Wally, amen, and do it. Sure, I got a lot of things I can talk about. I just wanted to make sure, you know, preach what the Lord had me to preach. I want to say those things that God would have me to say. Shut up when He wants me to shut up. Amen. So, anyways, I hope you don't hear all the fans running. I got fans running. I don't, my house ain't equipped for the air conditioner. I got air conditioner for one room. So, kind of choose to be like that. You say, well, why would you do that? I said, well, you know, I think about, you know, the Bible says we're soldiers of the cross. We're soldiers, man. We're soldiers in God's army. I've met a few military people. I was never in the military. But I appreciate those that do go over and fight. You know, if they have to fight for, you know, America, they're fighting now for crap, if you want to be honest about it. And that's all it is, man. They're just fighting for nothing most of the time, and they're doing things. And a lot of them don't want to do, but they are in the military, you know, and so they got to follow orders. But thinking about being in the military, you know, the Lord, sometimes you need to. I think America, let me back up. Not America. America that way is anyway, or like Bill Valentine says on 99.7, America. That's how your president talks. I laugh about it all the time because it sounds just like you. And I don't like your president. Never have. I knew he was a liar from the beginning. And he'll probably be a liar, you know, for the rest of his life. But anyways, I figured I'd just tough myself out. You know, I try to put myself in positions. And I probably, if it ever comes down to really tough times, it's coming. You might as well get ready for it. I know a lot of you guys and you women out there are going to talk. We're going to be raptured out of here. God's going to take us out of here. Rapture's going to take place. And, well, we're going to have a shout of glory. Hallelujah. Dad, we'll have to go through that. I don't believe that. I don't believe the children of God are going to go through the wrath of God, but I do believe that the children of God are going to go through tribulation before they leave this earth. Some might die before then. But I believe that. And I see it all the time, and for many years, it really disgusted me, and how the American Christians, really, you really think, man, that you're dumb, don't think. You think you're better than all these other people in Pakistan. You think you're better than the ones that got, you know, the Christians in these other countries. You really think because you're in America that you are better than all these other Christians. I got news for you. You know, when the rapture does take place, or when the Lord comes back, do you know we're all going to leave out of here at the same time? We're not going to go at separate times. We're going to go at the same time, so it don't matter whether you're in the grave or you're here alive when the Lord comes back. But I've noticed about American Christians, you think you're better than the Christians over in Africa. You do, because you got America on your name. You say you hate America? No. I thank God. I don't know why God allowed me to be born in America, but He did. And while I'm here, and since I am an American, you know, not like these Mexicans that are coming over here and all these refugees coming over here, voicing their opinion, and they're not American. They didn't go by the law and do what put myself in positions and stuff, amen, even trying to tough the heat out, I'm getting older. I try to force myself to be in things like the heat and all that, amen, push myself so when the time comes that I have to push myself, I can do it. I'm hoping if I have to do that, I'll be able to do that. Because we got so, we're spoiled. We are spoiled in America. You Christians are spoiled. And I know it don't feel good, but I'm telling the truth. Like, you can't go to church unless you got air conditioner. In the summertime, and you can't go to church without a heater in the wintertime. You got to have a central air now, but you can't go to church. Because it's too cold, it's too hot. I just can't do it, man. I just can't. I'm not. You fuss over, you gotta have attitudes. But you just can't say, listen to me, I'll tell you what. Now, people, I don't care if you agree with me or not. I don't really care tonight. Listen to me. I'm going to preach that. I'm just going to preach, whether you like it or not. But I remember as a boy going to church, going to these tent meetings. Man, I wasn't even saved. I was happy to sit inside of a tent in the summertime at night. At 7 o'clock at night, amen, they would preach for hours. And we would sit on steel chairs, and we would sit on wooden benches. And I wasn't even saved. And I never complained. We never thought anything about it. We didn't. And the people that were in the church that were saved, they never thought anything about it. Until one little thumb-sucking Christian got the wine into the spoiled. And then he spoiled, because my dad spoiled him. And he got his nose into the church, and he started tearing and threatening and paying that paycheck to the preacher. The preacher, we got to do something. We got to get your bad news. I ain't going to get my money. They're going to kick me out of my parson. We got to do something. We got to do something here. So they started bringing in bad news and air conditioners. And I've been in churches, man, they had wood stoves to heat the church. Some still got it. Glory to God. They don't have simple heat. They got a wood stove. And metal chairs. Some of them had a little bit of pad on. They're not bragging about it. They're not trying to get past pews in the church. They don't even have carpet. They got concrete. Glory to God. Sweet Jesus. But I got news for you, church. You better wake up. You better get your eyes wide open because the shoes is coming, honey. It ain't a thing you can do about it. It's just saying. And stand, because I'm telling you that God, just like Israel, God is angry with America. God gave us a land flowing with milk and honey, and American Christians have crawled all over it. Or should I say, dumped all over it, because crap means just a bunch of nothing. If you look the definition up, it don't mean what you think it means. You better get your head out your armpit. You better get on your knees, and you better know in whom you believe. You better know. To me, I think about it all the time. I have been preaching for 31 years, and I think about it today more than I ever have. And I say, I wonder really, when the time comes, I think about the brothers and sisters over there, like over there where the stinking Muslims are. And they cut their heads be careful before I blow a cord here. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. But you better get yourself ready. Persecution will come. Because I got this for you, arrogant, proud Christians of America. You're arrogant and you're proud. You think you don't stink under your arm, but you stink your nasty in the hog pen. You think you're better than everybody, but you're not. And I think we lose sight of who we are and what we're supposed to be doing on this earth. Amen. We're here to do what? Preach the gospel. We're here to do what? We sow. We're here to do what? Preach the word. We're here to stand. We're here to rebuke for treason, over all unstopping and darkness. Because we're in the time now. They don't even do our time like they hate darkness. But God's there to preach it. But we are to preach. Amen. That God will save them. That God will save the sodomites. That God will save the murderers. The rapists. All these people can get saved. Don't ever forget it. God save your nasty soul. You hear me, Baptist? You hear me, fundamental independent Baptist? The reason I say that, because I am one. If I have to claim that I am one, I'm telling you something. You got the nose up in there. You better get it down, or I'll slap it right off your face. Proud and arrogant, thinking you're somebody. You don't stink, but you stink like the world. Talked to a guy the other day, man. We talked, preach on everything but fat gluttony, man. What about gluttony, fat boy? Ooh, glory to God, sweet Jesus. Huh? What about it? What about gluttony, fat boy? Why'd you preach on that? A lot of times it's like this person said, now throw that a person that's listening. They don't know if they're saved or not. But they said that you ain't got a lot of people out there, man. They preach on everything else. They sit in their patio hall. They go to the slop pit every Sunday. And they got there to the buff anything there. And they can't put the back tub away from the plate. That's just as much as sin as taking God's name in vain.
Huh? I can't help it. I'm trying not to be loud, but I'm just gonna be me. You don't want to be around me, you don't like me because I'm me. Amen. I don't care. God loves me. Hallelujah. And I still love you and there's nothing you can do about it. I'm trying to be a light and a testimony, amen. I'll be the light and a testimony from everything that walks on this earth. God has taken me down some of the newest avenues. Man, I'm a hard preacher, man. I do stand. I stand against the sodomites, the lesbians, the murderers, the rapists, the perverts, the pedophiles. Amen. I stand against all wickedness. I do. But I know this. There's only one sin that God won't forgive you for, and that's blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. But these other sins, God will forgive you. God will change. Amen. And I think a lot of preachers forget, not just preachers, but Christians. I'll tell you what, American Christians make me sick. Then you got the people running the churches. Yeah, you know, I thought about this today. I mean, there's a lot of churches today, man, the flocks are getting smaller, you know, but the Bible says we got to remember that the Bible has already been prophesied. Everything in the Bible is going to be fulfilled. Every jot and every tittle will be fulfilled. It will be. And whatever and however many people we end up with, we just glorify God and go on, honey. God will make another happen. And we pray that God will send people your way and other people's way. But I tell you what, the great blowing away is that when God, hey, God, and I hear preachers preaching, all the great blowing away is that when
They like darkness rather than light. In other words, what Jesus said, they love darkness rather than light. I just noticed a lot of things going on in the world and in our country and all these things, all these what we call bad things going on and everything, you know, and I'm not saying God's happy about any of it. God's not jumping for joy in heaven when he says it in his word over a wicked person that dies or perishes. That don't please God, but yet in another breath, God said he hates all workers of iniquity. For David said, thou hatest all workers of iniquity. That's he talking to God. And he also had David even ask questions. Does not I, Lord, hate those that hate thee? I didn't see God rebuke David over that. And Jesus said that the Father loves those who love him. And Hebrews chapter 12 talks about that God doesn't chasten the bastard, he chases his children. And he loves those whom he chastens. Or he chastens those whom he loves. So if you are without chastisement, then therefore you bastards are not such. That means you don't belong to God. So that's why God don't chasten you. That damn thing, God don't like you. Sorry. I mean, that's what I read. I mean, I might be wrong on that, but that's what I read. I might be wrong, but you show me, tell me. But Jesus came to save sinners. Bible said in Isaiah 12:2, behold, take notice. I want you to notice. I want you to know this world. I want you to know this Muslim. I want you to know this every God-hating, Christ-rejected person. Do you hear me? I want you to know this. I want you to know that God is my salvation. Amen. I want you to know that I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. God, Jehovah, is my strength and my salvation. I will not be afraid of. I hope you get saved. I hope every lost person here in that Christ that day, I hope every person that don't know Jesus Christ, every will get saved. I mean that. When I got saved, I wanted the whole world saved. I wanted all my friends saved. I want all my family to, but you know what? They don't work that way. You know that? It don't work that way. I wish it would, but it don't. But there's people I know I've been praying for 30 years. I've been praying for them for 30 years to get saved. I pray for some that's already gone to the grave. I preach to some that's already gone to the grave. I don't want anybody to go to hell, do you? Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I need your help for you. And I praise you for it in Jesus' name. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord. Call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things that is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Isaiah 12. Verse 1 says, and in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Jesus Christ, God was mad and angry at me one day, amen, before I got saved. Listen to me. The Bible said that God is angry with the wicked every day. I was a wicked person at one time. I was a lost man walking on this earth just like you are today, amen. Listen to me. You profess to know Christ, and yet your life hasn't changed. I'm going to judge you. Amen. Pastor, if you shall know them. The Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things all passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I don't care what you tell me. Listen to me. If you still is what you was, then you ain't. You got me. Amen. John Jennifer, a preacher back in the 1800s, always said, if you is what you was, then you ain't. If you is a doctor, you're not saved. If you can still drink the bars and the dance halls and God don't smoke you and God don't smoke your heart, you're not saved. You hear me? If you can still go to the whorehouses, amen, you can still run around, you can still fornicate, you can still lie, cheat, steal, kill, rape, rob, amen, listen, you're not one of God's. It's that simple. You are not saved. You, and I'm not afraid to say, you are not saved. If your life has never been changed, if you've never, amen, God has never dealt with you, if you've never repented of your sins, you are not saved. You get it? You got it? Good. The Bible says, lift ye up a banner upon the high mountains, lift up the voice unto them, shake the hand, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones. He said, I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for my anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. The noise of the multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together, the Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the war and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. This earth one day, God will destroy her. You understand me? I don't care what your whole witnesses say. They're not Jehovah's Witnesses. They're false witnesses. God, according to 2 Peter chapter 3, is going to burn the heavens and the earth with a fervent heat. Then he's going to create a new heaven and a new earth. They come from a far country. How ye? How ye? How? Cry out in fear for the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pains and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one to another. Their faces shall be as a flame. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. And he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. He's going to destroy the sinners. my God, will be turned into blood, and the moon will be darkened, and the sun shall be turned into blood. That hadn't happened yet. Now they try to use that verse to try to get women to preach, but that ain't what he's saying. Listen, that ain't took place yet. And you know what's amazing about that whole thing? It looks like we're here when that happens. I might be wrong on this, but I'm telling you when I read my Bible. It makes me think I'm here. And I will punish the world for their evil, and the wicked for their iniquities, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease. And we'll lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man that is gold, and wisdom open. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of their place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. Therefore, I will shake the heavens. And it shall be as a chaste roe and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people and flee every one into his own land. Every one that is found shall be thrust through, and every one that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes. Their houses shall be spoiled and their wives ravished. Genesis 6, I was reading out of Isaiah 12 and 13. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil, only evil continually. And he repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. You know, trying to figure out how to say this, so I don't have every preacher in the country writing me and blasting me and saying, I'm for a terrible guy anymore. Terrible. I'm not. I'm trying to think of this today about this whole situation that's going on now. With the shooting and everything that's going on at the sodomite bar. I don't believe God's people should be jumping around and shouting, Glory, Hallelujah, and things like that, because God don't even do that. I mean, the Bible's clear on that, and God don't, you know, he's not happy about when the witch is perfect there. But I also see another side of that thing. God's an angry God. God, the Bible says God's angry with the wicked every day. And God is a almighty God. God can do what he wants to. He's the potter, we're the clay. God made the wicked even for the day of evil. I mean, God made them right. That's what it says in the Bible. Now, you can't just stretch the Bible, but that's what it says. I also see that how, I mean, I mean this with all my heart. I want people saved. I want the sodomites to get saved, the lesbians, the drunkards, the pedophiles, the perverts.
the lawyers, the judges, the president, Congress, the government, all these people to get saved. I don't think it's right to sit there and, you know, and I heard that one preacher say something about that, you know, that I can't find it in the Bible. We're not going to be happy about it, but out of the same, when you look at the whole picture, though, I don't know what I'm trying to say here. I'm trying to say something I thought about today. I'm trying to put it together. I won't touch it right now. I'm trying to get my thought pattern back on it. I want to try to be wise on this and what I say. But I'll get to the verse here in a minute. I'm going to read right up with the Bible. We'll go that way. We'll go that route. Amen. But in Genesis 6:5, 6 and 7 again, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things, and the fowl of the air, for it repented me that I have made them. Why does God allow these things? Because of man's sins. Why did God allow what happened? I'm serious. Now, you got to think about this. I'm just saying, because of man's sin, things happen. God does not, God cannot, and God will not lie. But when the judgment of God, and man done this. Well, let me tell you something. When God, I can go in here and I can probably disturb every one of you people out there tonight, all you Christians, and I'm not trying to do that. There's things in the Bible that I've read many times that I'll tell you what, I'm like, my goodness, what in the world did God do it? And I was trying to be honest about it. I got more questions than I have answers today, but I know this, that God is the one that's in control. God is the one controlling things on this whole world. God is. God allows things. The devil didn't just come up and do this on his own. God allowed it. God allows things to come on us. God allows it. God allowed it on Job. The devil didn't do it. God tried Job. God said to go try Job. And the devil didn't run and say, I'm going to try Job. God said go try him. And he tried my servant Job. And he tried him. Go try Job. You can do anything, but you can't kill him. You can't take his life. Job couldn't die. But God allowed his whole family, except his wife, with the Jezebel spirit, a critical heart, he lost his family. Because God allowed it. Right? That's right. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence to them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. God destroyed with the flood. God destroyed the fire and brimstone.
The Lord says, the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and that's 2 Peter chapter 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I just read out Genesis 19, I read out Genesis chapter 6, I read out Genesis chapter 6, 1, 11, 12, and 13, 5, 6, and 7. It's 2 Peter, for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, look out now, guys, look out!
Even worse, I believe, than Sodom and Gomorrah.
You know what I find amazing? Like I said, I don't agree with what happened, but you know, it's funny how all these Christians, man, all of a sudden, man, when something like this happens, especially to wicked people, and they're wicked, I don't care if you like that or not, they're sodomites, they're lesbians. I mean, that's what they are. They're wicked people. In the eyes of God, they're wicked. I'm sorry, guys and girls. Yeah, I know, Christians, you don't like that, but that's, hey, looking at the face value, what God said, and hey, God said they are wicked. They are an abomination in the eyes of God, whether you like it or not. You might not want to say that, but I want to say it because God said it. But you join hands with that, and you're sympathetic, and I will say over and over, amen, I'm not jumping, yay, glory, hallelujah, praise God, you know what, right, that's what's going to happen. I'm not saying that, but I'm telling you this. You can't hardly get the Christians to get together because there's nothing but bickering and fighting and fussing going on. You can't get a Christian to join hands with Christians, but you can get them to join hands with lost people. Isn't there something wrong with that picture? Yeah. When they come against the Christians, they shout to them, get all bent out of shape over there for going and something happens to them. The lost. Boy, they get all bent, boy, they ready to fight you. But you don't stand for Christians. Makes me wonder if somebody ain't in the milk and butter ain't clean with you. Huh? Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather retrieve them. Why don't people get it? No one wants judgment. Everyone wants love. God is an angry God. God is angry with the wicked every day. God isn't playing. If God destroyed them back then, God will destroy America. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. I wonder how many times, and I've been on the streets, I don't know how many years, I don't know how many times I've preached on the streets. And there's been a few times I did, I never went back to where, you know, I don't go to sodomite parades. Woo! You mean it? No, I don't, man. I believe there's swine, man. I've been to a couple of them. And God laid it on my heart. He said, what you want to. I don't go out there anymore. He said, cast not your pearls before swine. I believe in swine. I believe. Sure, man, I'd like to see him get saved. The ones that I listen to me. That's what I believe. That's just what I believe God told me, that I have to go out there. He wouldn't let me see time after time. There are times I'm thinking, man, God, why don't you let me see all these things? Why don't you let me? He said, because there's swine. I've read his word. Cast not your pearls before swine. Sometimes we got to figure out who the swine is. I think a lot of preachers get out there and we'll be patting on the back. And they want to be close to falling. Look at this great private preacher out there, boy. He got to tell you what. But let me tell you something about the preachers that I've read about the Bible. They were hated by the world. They went patting on the back on the brethren. Listen to me. They were hated. They weren't puffed up in pride. They weren't bragging on themselves. You know what they were doing? It's all about Jesus, man. All about Jesus. The Bible said in Proverbs 11:21, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. You can join hands all you want. I've seen Christians now saying, oh, we're joining hands now. We're joining hands with them. I'm not. I pray to God they get saved. I pray they're coming. I mean, they can't get saved now. The people that, you know, been hurt, killed. And I'm not just preaching about them. I'm preaching about any of them out there, amen, that refuse to accept God, accept what the Word says. They can't get saved. They're reprobate. But the ones you you don't have any for the sex worshipers and the baby killers and the sodomites and the lesbians, and you are your God. God don't tolerate sin. The righteous shall never be removed. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inherit the earth. When the righteous say they are united with America, they are united with all the ungodly. You are saying you have joined hands with the devil. You might say that isn't so. If you were to really stop and look at what you are saying, you will realize that you have joined sides with those that hate Jesus. Huh? They love the sodomites, they love the baby killers, and anything that is against the word of God, you have joined hands with the devil. Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 2 Corinthians 5, that was Ephesians 5, 11. 2 Corinthians 5, 11 says, the Bible says, knowing the terror of the Lord, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. God is an angry God. Satan didn't make this happen. God did. God let it happen. God is angry. America is not united with God. America will have to repent to be united with God. And I don't see America doing that. America's never repented as a whole. God is angry with America. America is not united with God. America will have to repent to be united with God. America has never repented as a whole. Some people might have repented, but those people who started calling on God, I'm talking about 911, and even now and then, after 2 weeks, quit. They never really repented. If America would have really, truly repented, then we would see a great revival breaking out, and that is not happening. It did not happen in 9-1-1. It's not going to happen now, and it's not going to happen as soon as this just kind of tapers off a little bit, anything that happens. This country is not in no revival. If you want to know what a revival is, I'm telling you, listen, the heads are going to be gone. The persecution will start. You say, well, we want to have a Holy Ghost time like it did the book of Acts. Okay, we'll go read it. I've read it. Man, I got tape shots if you want some. I'll make it perfectly clear, man. I'm okay. What a revival. You want to talk about it? He said it even in the book of Psalms, revive us, Lord, revive me. But you know what? When you look at the book of Acts, when the church flourished, when the church grew, they were being persecuted. They were being put to death. They were losing their heads. They were being put in prison. They were being tortured. They were being spit on. They were being beat. They were being hated by the world. That's what brought the move of the church, the move of God. Check it out. Even when Paul was put in handcuffs, he says in bonds, that gave the Christians boldness. Read it, man. Churches all across this nation still don't get it. The flag's not my God. America's not my God and never will be. America's, amen, it's really not my home. I'm just passing through. God put me here and I'm going to stand, amen, and I will voice my opinion about America because I am an American. Amen. A Christian first. But I am an American. I was born an American. I have every right in my heart, amen, and by law to say what I want to because I was born in America. America is not my salvation. Jesus is. churches are still saying they're united with this nation. I'll stand for the nation. Amen. I'll stand, man, because God, you know, I'm thinking about that today or yesterday about it. I said, you know what? I might not totally agree with everything, even with Trump. But you know what? Because I've listened to preachers over 30 years now. I've listened to all kinds of preachers. And the biggest percentage of them, they talk about the Constitution and the laws, and these Christians that call themselves Christians that don't understand laws, they call us lawbreakers because we go to jail or we're preaching on the streets or in the churches or whatever and everything. But yet, under law, what is the law? The law is the Constitution. Huh? When you read it and you look at it and weigh it all out, I'm telling you, it's what we abide by. And that's the law. I don't need no mouth from no Christians. I figured that one out. God showed that to me. He said, well, look, they're griping about the law. Well, I'm following the law, man. As a child of God, they have no right messing with me. As a child of God, they have no right putting me in jail for preaching. I'm serious. As a child of God, they don't have no right to do that, but they do it. Why? Because they're wicked. Their hearts are continually wicked every day. And God's angry with them. But we're supposed to follow the law. You Christians that think you know the law, well, the law states, I have a right. Under God, I have the greatest right of all. He commanded me. And if their laws are saying, I can't, I will. Just like Daniel. They told Daniel he couldn't pray. Daniel went home and prayed anyway. And Daniel was standing there and told it to their face. Daniel, go read it, Daniel chapter 6. He says, I knew that you changed, or you signed a decree. I knew. He knew the law. He knew what they wrote down. He knew what the king said, but he said, you know what? I'm going to go pray anyway. You know why? Because I serve the God of heaven. I serve Jehovah. I serve the God of the world, of the universe, of everything. God. So when you guys talk about, well, we're going to abide by the law, when they tell you you don't preach Jesus, you keep your mouth shut. But for those that do stand on truth and righteousness, and just like God, just like Daniel, you preach on, man. I'm going to follow what God says to do. And I'm going to follow the example of Daniel. He knew they signed the decree. He knew that. He knew what their law was, but in conflict with God. And so Daniel said, I'm going to pray anyway. And those wicked devils that tried to set him up, you don't have to. They lost their lives. The Bible says, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. Jesus said, I will pay. You'll pay, man, when you mess with God's people. God is an angry God. We are to be lifting Jesus up, not America, though we live in America, but Jesus first, God first. But I've learned over the years America gets more recognition than Jesus does, more than God does, even in local churches, because that's their God. Amen. We're not to put America above God. We live here because God put us in America, those that do live in America. But we don't put America, we don't put ourselves above God. I've seen churches, people in there, they die for the flag in churches. I will get mad at you if you say anything against America, the flag. Churches won't get upset when people say anything against Christ.
people don't want to get involved when it comes to things of the cross. All kinds of people turned out for 911, especially for America. But you can't hardly get so-called Christians to stand for Jesus. Said something wrong somewhere. I don't believe wrong. I believe it was most, and that's a close call, church members are still lost. Most people that go to church today are just religious. They don't believe God can do anything that would harm anybody. After all, he loves us. That is totally wrong. God is angry, and he's long-suffering, and has run out. We are in the day, last days. God destroys cities and nations when they reject him and his son, Jesus Christ. God destroys cities and nations that refuse correction and refuse to repent. God has warned people and warned, and the people won't turn from their sin. God warned in Noah's day, Lot's days, and he's warned in America, and the people will not repent and turn to Jesus. So as he said in his word, he left Sodom and Gomorrah for an example. So guess what is in store for America? Judgment. That's God's perfect love. 2 Peter 2:9 says, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the just unto the day of judgment to be punished. Luke 17, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and a flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. The Bible said in 9:17 of the book of Psalms, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations shall forget God. You wonder what's going on in America? You wonder why this place is so messed up? You wonder why all these things are happening? Because the Bible does not lie. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations shall forget God. This nation is being turned into total hell because this nation refuses to honor God. And Christians don't want to hear that. The Christians want to hear law of the wicked in Psalm 9:17 shall be turned into hell because they reject the God of heaven. That's Bible. Is it not? Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. God is an angry God. God is a just God. God is a loving God. But God showed as an example Sodom and Gomorrah. The preachers of today overlook the deeds of the wicked. That's what the Bible even says. They overlook the sins. Let me give you a verse here. I want you to hear this. When the Lord showed this verse to me a long time ago, if this don't fit the churches of America today, I don't know who this. This is in the Bible. Malachi, chapter 2, verse 17. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. You have wearied the Lord with your words. Did you know you can weary the Lord with your words? What kind of words does it take to weary the Lord? Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? Well, how do we weary God? How do we make God weary? You know? Listen now.
say, now when you say this, this is how you weary the Lord. Everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. God loves you anyway. That's why he understands, baby. He don't, oh yeah, baby. He understands you. He knows you. That's all right. You have wearied the Lord with that saying. Let's read it again. When you say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, I have heard people that call themselves Christians, and these people living like hell, living in all these sins, and he says, that's okay. You're good in the sight. You're still good in the eyes of God. He understands. He understands. No, you weary the Lord what you're saying. And he delighteth in them. He loves you. And he delighteth in them. You have wearied the Lord for saying these things. And, you, and God loves you. He delights you. He's been teaching you. Or you say, where is the God of judgment? If that's not the church today, I don't know who is. I'm not talking about all churches, okay? Don't get all mad, man. You know, start writing me, tell me how bad I'm going to hell, and I need to repent, get right with God, get saved, and all that stuff. You know, that's what Christians do. You know, they're supposed to battle with that all the time. And when they got to find something they don't agree with, you're going to hell because you don't agree with them, or, you know, or they don't agree with you, and, you know, whatever. Malachi 2, verse 17, you have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied him? We ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord. He delighteth in them. Oh, where is the God of justice? That's Bible. You're not saved tonight. You need to be saved. You need to fall on your face before Jehovah God, repent of your sins, ask the Lord to save you, ask him to cleanse you, believe, amen, what the Bible says. Jesus said, repent, believe the gospel, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross, believe that he died, he was buried, he rose again on the third day, just like he said he would. Amen, just believe what he said in his word. You believe in your heart, confess with your mouth. The Bible says, amen. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're not entering the gates of heaven unless you've been born again. If you're not born again, you will not, you understand me, you will not go to heaven. You need to repent and believe the gospel. I'm just preaching the word tonight. Get ready, people, for the persecution will come. If you listen to my voice tonight, amen, I'm just going to close early. Isn't that amazing? You get a chance, you got to go to church somewhere for some reason, you can tune in on this same broadcast on Sunday morning at 11:30 Central Standard Time. This is Brother Brandon Teague out of Paris, Texas. Matter of fact, this is on his broadcast. And I praise God for the opportunity to be on here. I thank the Lord, too, tonight that everything went well, that there wasn't no interruptions and that noise wasn't on here, you know. But God is an angry God tonight, and God is fed up with all this garbage. God's going to destroy the wicked on this earth. And the wicked should go to hell when they die. Amen. I almost forgot one. I've got to go back since the Lord spoke that. I want you to see something here. I thought I was going to get off life. Not life, but early, you know.
Yeah, I thought about today, you know, I prayed and wondered what I should do. And I give God the glory tonight. I didn't preach no fancy message. I just preached a loud one. I want you to see something, God. Right? I have the Word of God. Been on my heart all day to even read this, so I'm going to read it. Again, I preach from the Bible. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. But fools. Now, God's calling you a fool if you despise wisdom and instruction. If you don't fear the Lord, He said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and you're a fool if you don't believe that. If you don't fear the Lord. My son, hear the instructions of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, this is wisdom. Now listen to me. He's trying to help. If sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they come with us, if they say, come with us, let us wait for blood, let us work privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and cold as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they that wait for their own blood, they look privily for their own life. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom cries without. She utters her voice in the streets. She cries in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates in the city. She utters her word, saying, these street preachers now, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in the scorning, and fools hate knowledge. How long? How long? You gonna hate knowledge? How long are you going to be a fool? Turn, you at my reproof. Behold, he's counting, turn you at my reproof. Behold, take notice. I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refuse, I have stretched out my hand. And man no regard it, and no man regard it, no man listen to what he's saying. But ye have said it not all my counsel and would not of my reproof. You didn't want to hear the word of God. You don't want to hear preaching. You don't want to hear about being saved. You don't want to hear about fearing God. You don't want to hear anything about your sinful life. You don't want to hear about preaching against fornication and adultery and sodomy and lesbianism and all these wicked sins and drunkenness. In adultery, you don't want to hear none of that. Now, you would think God would be nicer than this, don't you think? You thought God would do those things like that. Really, now listen. I also will laugh at your calamity. I also will laugh at your trouble, your misery, your disasters. God said, I'm going to laugh at you. Because I gave you real, I gave you warning. I said, how long you sit on Lord once we have simplicity? How long is it going to take for you to understand God? How long do you want to be a fool? He said, I'm going to be a fool for the rest of my life. God said, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock you when your fear comes. God's going to make fun of you. What it says. That's what I'm saying. I will mock
your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. What's he going to do? He's going to laugh at you. He's going to mock you. When all these things come against you, God is going to mock you and laugh at you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. You hear, Christian? Do you hear me, Christian? That's God saying this. Don't tell me, oh, God's going to hear you all the time. God's going to hear you. Not to hear. When your destruction comes upon you, when he comes upon you as a whirlwind, then shall they call upon God. When things are going bad, God says, I am not going to listen to you. I am not going to answer you. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me.
Amazing.
For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Since they hated knowledge and did not want to fear the Lord, God said, I'm going to laugh at you when you're calamity. I will laugh at your calamity. And I will mock you when your fear comes. When things go so bad and it's so right for you, I'm going to mock and laugh at you. And then when you call upon me, I, God, will not listen to you. You will not find God. God gives you an opportunity. He's trying to help you now. Today is the day of salvation. Today, right now, is your time under the voice, amen, of me tonight or other preachers by the word of God. Tonight is your night to get saved. Today is your day. Whenever you hear this, if anybody ever hears it, today is your day. But if you refuse it, if you refuse knowledge, if you refuse the fear of God, then God calls you a fool, and God says that your calamity is going to be so bad, and when it comes upon you as a whirlwind, your destruction, then you will decide when things, that's how you do it, that's how America does it. When 911 came, oh God! Oh! You know what? I figured I'd give them a month, and it only took 2 weeks, man. They turned it back on God again.
Now, ever since then, all these little things coming up now, everybody's calling on God. Everybody's going, oh, Jesus.
And God said, when you're calamity, listen, I have warned you. You know, I hadn't heard one person say yes. Never. You know that? Do you realize that? I mean, if you have, please send me the video. It just dawned on me. I've not heard one testimony of anybody getting saved at 911, and then I have not heard anybody say they called on God, you know, and the Christians just fall for it. My people perish for the lack of knowledge. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. That's why. They would none of my counsel. They despise all my reproof. They didn't like God. They don't want God. They don't need God. They don't care about God. So God says, to hell with you. What? Huh? Where do you think you're going? Well, every time a disaster happens, people call on God. And some kids might get saved. But see, today our society says, well, God's blood is just the way they are. It don't matter if they're perverted or anything. God just still loves them. Well, Malachi 2:17 says, you weary God with your words. You overlook the deeds of the wicked. You overlook their sins. They'll not go unpunished.
therefore, now they would not of my counsel, they despise all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. In other words, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You want to sow to your flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. You sow to your spirit, you reap of the spirit. But 99.99% of the people are lost. You're sowing to your flesh. And with your flesh, you will reap destruction. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, God, shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That's Bible. That's what the Bible says. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Repent today, lost person. Get your heart right with God, saved person. Don't let that day come upon you unawares, saved person. It's going to come upon the lost. Do you realize that God in Luke chapter 21 is saying that we're still going to be here when those things start happening? Even I'm telling you, really, the moon and the sun will be what? Turn darkened, turn into blood. Luke 21 represents the church still being here. I'm sorry, you guys. I mean, when I read it, you show me different. Show me, please help me. But when I read that in Luke 21, who is he talking to? The lost or the saved?
I hear all these big bad preachers saying, the Bible's written for the saved, man.
Thank you, sir. Very much it was. That's what I'm written for. And Luke 21 says, when you see these things, lift up your head for your redemption, draw it nigh. He didn't say it's going to happen right. He says, draw it nigh. That means it's coming. And it said, be careful that they don't come upon you unawares. Be not caught up in surfacting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. Is you think he's talking to the lost person? I don't think so. I do believe God's talking to saved people on this earth when that happens. And when you go back and you read Luke 21, and you go to the book of Revelation, you go to the book of Joel, and you go to the book of Acts, you'll find out about the sun and the moon, what is going to happen to them. Guess what? It's mentioned in Luke 21. Don't you think that's amazing? I do. Anyway, if you're not saved, repent and get right with God. If you're saved, follow Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay close to him. Keep your eyes on him, man. So that they don't come upon you unaware. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm done, Lord. I don't know what else to say. I pray you deal with lost hearts tonight, Lord. I pray you bless the saved. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for loving me, putting up with me, Lord. I'm glad I'm saved, not going to hell, Lord. I'm grateful to you tonight that my sins are forgiven. You cast them as far as the east is to the west, Lord, never to be remembered again. Lord, if anybody listens to this preaching, it's not me, God. And I pray that they, Lord, will take heed if they're lost and they get saved, God. I pray the child of God, Lord, will remember where you found them, Lord. They might be going to church all their life, thinking they're better than everybody else, and they've been to church all their life, and they pray the other guys, but we were all in the same hell. But Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you sing so old man's preaching your word and with ours. I love you, my God, and I thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name.
My Christian friends, we have a new member of the Gospel Keynotes by the name of Warner Glover. We call him Brand New. Brand New, please sing for me. Sing, son.
Don't you wait for that hurt to take. running warm, running warm in your veins. You go on in Jesus' name. So don't you wait for that hurt.